Defendo Radio is on now.
Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. Oh my gosh, I've always wanted to say that. This is Holly, by the way. I will actually be doing kind of a mini-sode today of Infendo Radio. This is episode 302, and joining me tonight, I have no one. So this is kind of an unusual thing, but both Lewis and Harrison couldn't make it tonight, so I'll be going solo. We'll see how this goes. All right, I'm going to try to give y'all the usual three-part structure tonight. So I will be starting with what I've been playing, then I'll move on to the Nintendo news, and for part three, I will actually be doing a bit of a special talking about actually the weaknesses of the Wii U, because as we all know, it's not doing particularly well. Certainly not as well as Nintendo would like, and all of us really want to see Nintendo move back up to that position that they were, you know, when they were basically the king, the savior even, of the video game industry. And so today I'm actually going to be going over the weaknesses of the Wii U. I like the system, but I do recognize its weaknesses, and I would actually just really love to take some time and talk about those. So we're going to move straight into what I've been playing. The first thing on my list here is Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for the Wii U. If you've been listening to the podcast for the last several weeks, you probably already are aware that I have been playing this game and am rather attached to it. So I just, you know, continue to play that game. I haven't even gotten up to 100 hours yet, so I'm not really up in the hundreds of hours of playtime that a lot of gamers can boast, but there you have it. As far as Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate goes, at this time, I have reached Hunter Rank 3, which is, I guess, kind of a big achievement, because you're still considered a beginner when you're in Monster, or Hunting Ranks 1 and 2. However, I still feel like, I mean, Hunting Rank 3 out of 999, not a lot of people get up all the way up to 999, but 3, that's not very much compared to a lot of other people. Yet I still feel like my equipment is just horrible. My armor, my sword, or, you know, my weapon, which I've kind of gotten really attached to the longsword. So you could say that the longsword's kind of my usual weapon. But as just a bit of a status update, I just beat the Giganox in single player mode. And for those of you who play the game and are familiar with that monster, the Giganox, it is something else. It is disturbing, and it is rather a pain to fight. It's got these toxic attacks that are just horrible. It took me over 25 minutes to beat it, which felt like a really long time. Maybe that's not a really long time, but it sure felt like a long time because of all of that poisoning that I was getting. I used a bunch of antidotes, herbal medicines, you know, items that cure poisoning. But the fact that I struggled so much on the Giganox kind of makes me wonder whether I'm up for my next task, which is actually completing an urgent quest called Slay the Lagiacrus, if that's how you pronounce that. Maybe everyone has different pronunciations of that, but it just makes me feel like I'm kind of just stalled in the game. Like, am I really up for this? And how do I get better equipment? I've got the best longsword that I could possibly make with all the materials and the money that I have, so let's just hope that it's good enough for that Lagiacrus, because I don't think I can move on without defeating it. Moving on, I have picked up Bravely Default. I'm really enjoying the world in this game. I don't know if Lewis talked a lot about the world, but the artwork is just captivating. That's the only word that I can think of to describe this artwork. Just captivating. It draws you into this world. You really feel like you're a part of it, and it's just beautiful. I've also actually gotten really absorbed in reading about the world using what's called Dee's Journal. It's kind of the place where you read up on all the tutorials and all the information on items, locations, characters, but there's actually a lot of interesting info in there that talks about just this world that the game takes place in, and I just find myself really interested in that kind of thing. As for the gameplay, the strategy is good. It's an RPG, so, you know, you got your strategy, and it's a turn-based RPG, so strategy is actually a really important aspect of the gameplay. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around all of the different options that this game gives you. Just to name off a few things, there's ability-linking with friends, ability-linking, basically, with friends. Net inviting friends to help out with the reconstruction of the town of Narende. And then you can summon all those people that you invite to your game, including your friendless friends. You can summon them in battle, and they can do the particular move that they sent to you specifically. So there's that kind of aspect of the fighting, and that's not even, you know, like the main part of the fighting. The main part of the fighting is actually just assigning jobs to all of your four characters, trying to get a good lineup of jobs that kind of suits your play style. Oh, but there are so many jobs, it's kind of insane. And when it comes to, you know, magic versus physical jobs, I mean, mages alone have just tons of attacks that they can do. They can cause status effects. They can also use magic attacks. There's healing magic that only white mages can do. Attack magic, which only black mages can do. Generally, there are just so many options that it kind of seems overwhelming at first. But I think that's kind of what makes the game fun. The advertisements will often say that you can craft your perfect play style. And that's actually like the big selling point of the game. There are so many options that you really can just kind of develop your own play style. And it is a very lengthy and kind of tough thing to do to figure out exactly what your play style is, basically. But, you know, that's the fun of the game. There's a lot of grinding, just like people say. But, you know, it's not too bad. There's still strategy to the grinding, so that's not too bad. I actually picked up the collector's edition, the U.S. collector's edition, which is actually a little different from the U.K. collector's edition. The U.S. collector's edition comes with a pack of 34 AR cards, a soundtrack CD with 10 tracks on it, and a deluxe art book, as well as the game, obviously. The U.K. edition actually came with all that plus a statue of some kind, which is actually really neat. I wish we got that too, but anyhow, I am really enjoying what I did get in my collector's edition. Particularly the soundtrack, you know, being the big music nut that I am. Finally, I have picked up Weapon Shop de Omasi, however you want to say that, which is an eShop game for the Nintendo 3DS. It's, I think, the final of the Guild 01, 05 games. None of which I actually picked up until now, but there you have it. Weapon Shop, I think, was talked about a little bit in the last episode. It's a rhythm game. It's kind of a strange thing, but it's a rhythm game that has an adventure kind of theme to it, an RPG kind of a theme to it. The game is very decidedly self-aware. So you get characters who come in using terms like level up and I need to defeat the final boss. Like they know that they're in a video game. That's kind of what self-aware means. So that actually leads to a lot of humor, and I have been really enjoying the humor. Overall, it's a good game. It's so far anyway. I've logged about an hour in it so far. So yeah, not too far in there, but it's a good rhythm game. It has been a surprisingly fun rhythm game, and so I really like that. And for what I've been playing, that actually basically just sums it up. Mostly I spend my time on Bravely Default and Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, kind of the big time games. So moving on, we will now talk about the Nintendo news. First of all, I have here on my list is that Nintendo is releasing in partnership with another company. I wish I had written down this company name, but they are releasing a Mario Kart Ride-On, which is a little toy that actually drives. It's got a 6-volt battery in it, so it'll actually, you know, drive on its own. One of those little electronic cars that I wish I had when I was little, but I never did. And this one actually looks like, you know, the standard cart from Mario Kart, which is absolutely awesome. I kind of wish that I was a kid again. Anyway, it's an especially good thing for Nintendo at this time, though. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to Walmart with my mom, and the toy aisles, those were like heaven. They were the best places on earth. I loved, even if I couldn't get everything I wanted, which, you know, when you're a kid, you want everything. Except, you know, I kind of stayed away from the Barbie aisles, completely pink, just washed out with pink. I kind of avoided those. But, you know, other aisles, it was like, I want this and I want this. It's kind of just a little kid thing. I'd get a new pack of Pokemon trading cards every single time we went, which was exciting. But the point is, toys are a really, really great way to capture kids' attention. And if Nintendo is kind of trying to market the Wii U in particular toward families and kids, then having toys in the store is going to be just and nothing but good. It can't be a bad thing to have, especially a toy that cool. But moving on, we have a run of Super Mario Bros. That breaks the record for the lowest score in that game. So this video, you can actually watch it on YouTube, but someone got like the, I don't think you can get any lower than this unless you use, you know, like some kind of modifying tool. But they finished the game with a final score of 500 points. And the YouTube video shows exactly how it was done. But the 500 points actually come from 5 different flagpoles that were touched. Each of them were touched only when the timer for that particular level reached exactly 000, because any time that you have left when you beat the level, that actually adds up in points. And so there's one of those strategies that you've got to use to get an all-time low score. So in the video, Mario dies once, trying to do the wall jump in World 8-1. And this is necessary to actually avoid grabbing some coins that are in the air over this jump. So the wall jump, you probably know what that is. Modern Mario games are just kind of equipped with the ability to do the wall jump, but the original Super Mario Bros. Actually wasn't. So how is this accomplished? Honestly, I have no idea, so don't ask me, but it's necessary to get this low score of 500. So one death, but, you know, no continues, and so it was kind of a big moment for that score to be broken, that low score to be broken. In other news, we have this thing that I'm not sure I understand fully, called Twitch Plays Pokemon. That probably means a lot to a lot of you. I'm afraid it doesn't mean much to me. I think I get the concept. It's like Pokemon being streamed, but fans, like hundreds of thousands of fans, are actually controlling it somehow together. That's all I got. Nothing else. But from my rather ignorant and outside viewpoint, it does seem like a pretty entertaining kind of a thing. I don't know. Next up we have Diddy Kong has been confirmed for Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS. He made his debut in Brawl, and I'm sure he was actually a very, very popular character. He wasn't one of my regulars, but I'm very glad to see him returning. He's apparently more flexible this time around, so the reach of his over A attack is probably a little longer. And that's about all I have to say about Diddy Kong. Okay, and moving on, we have a Club Nintendo offer. And as far as I know, this is just for the United States. So anyone who registers a Nintendo 3DS system, and that includes the regular 3DS, the 2DS, and the 3DS XL, on Club Nintendo between March 1st and March 31st, and then register a qualifying game, you can get Pokemon X or Pokemon Y for free. A download code, so you'll have to download it onto your SD card. The qualifying games, so you register a 3DS system, and you register one of these games, then you get Pokemon for free. So the games are Mario Kart 7, Super Mario 3D Land, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Lego City Undercover, The Chase Begins, and Yoshi's New Island. So that game hasn't even come out yet. Yoshi's New Island comes out March 14th, I believe, in the United States and possibly elsewhere. So that'll be a part of the promotion as well. So anyone who doesn't have a 3DS, but they've just been waiting for Yoshi's New Island to come, buy a 3DS, buy that game, and then you get Pokemon X or Y for free. So that's kind of nice. It's a really great promotion, and it's really good news for the 3DS. However, I think that it's not a very good idea at this time for Nintendo to be focusing on the 3DS. I feel like they've done so much focusing on the 3DS lately. I feel like the last Nintendo Direct was another one of those Nintendo Directs that says, we love the 3DS, go get a 3DS, because great games are already here and they're coming, but the Wii U. We've got Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. On the way, but you don't need one of those. I think that the Wii U would benefit from one of these kind of promotions. If people had incentives such as something like this to get the Wii U, then perhaps more people would get the Wii U. That would help to expand the install base for the system, which might in turn entice more third-party developers to develop for the system. It may be too late for that for the Wii U, which is kind of an interesting concept in and of itself, but I really do think that Nintendo needs to do something Wii U, like some kind of Wii U promotion in a similar vein as this Nintendo 3DS promotion at this time. Moving on, we actually have a book coming out, according to Amazon, on May 13th in the United States and June 19th in the UK. And there are actually plans to make this book into a movie. The book is called Console Wars, and it talks about like the big, what I would call the biggest console war of all time, and that is Nintendo versus Sega back in the day. So they're planning on actually making this into a movie, which will supposedly, well, I guess it probably will be written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. I'm afraid those names don't mean a whole lot to me, but it would seem that they're pretty big names, and so this could end up being a really good thing. Hopefully it would actually increase awareness for Nintendo in general. However, by the time the movie comes out, Nintendo's fortunes may have turned around. I don't know. Only time will tell on that. When it comes to the book, it's the more immediate concern, and I'm actually very excited for the book. I'm just hoping that it kind of strikes a good balance between Nintendo and Sega. What I'm trying to say basically is I hope that it will cater to both fans, so none of the fans feel cheated. Like, maybe it'll kind of favor Sonic in the way that it's written, or favor Mario in the way that it's written, and therefore it will kind of disappoint those fans. I'm hoping that as a Nintendo fan, I will enjoy reading about it, even though I barely knew that Sonic even existed back in the day. I guess I was just too young at the time, but hopefully it'll be a good read for both types of fans. And with that, we're actually done covering Nintendo news for this week. So I'm just going to move straight into my final feature, which I have just titled Weaknesses of the Wii U. And I'm just going to dive right into this. The first thing that I want to talk about is actually the Wii U versus the Nintendo 3DS. And these kind of seem like minor things, but having owned the 3DS for more than 2 years, probably 2.5 years prior to when I got a Wii U, I kind of just expected certain things from the Wii U that I actually didn't get. The 3DS had the Wii U didn't have. And I didn't exactly understand that. So kind of the first thing on my list here is the daily log versus the activity log. The daily log is a Wii U feature. Well, I'll start with the activity log for the Nintendo 3DS. The activity log on the 3DS shows the total time that each piece of software you've used has been played, how many times it's been played, the average play time, and a couple other things like the last time it was played and the first time it was played, things like that. You can even actually bring up lists that ranks your software against one another in those categories. So which game have you played the most? For me, just as a fun fact, that would be Fire Emblem Awakening at this point. But, you know, those rankings are actually, you know, very interesting. And I always am interested to know the total time that I have spent on each game. It's just kind of a nice thing to know, you know? So that's the activity log on the Nintendo 3DS. The Wii U has what is called a daily log that also, it has similar info, but the info is kind of confined to days. So you know that you played Monster Hunter for 2 hours one day. But as far as I can tell, you can't actually shift that to see what your total time for Monster Hunter has been. And Monster Hunter, when you look at your file information, you actually do see how much time you spent playing the game on that file. But not all games are like that. I have no idea what the total time spent on Super Mario 3D World is, because, you know, I have multiple files and they don't even show the time. So I'd love to know the total time that I've played that. But as far as I can tell, on the Wii U, I can't just go someplace and see what is my total time that I have spent playing Super Mario 3D World. If I wanted to find that out, I think I would have to go through every single day that I played it and just add up all those numbers of how much time I spent playing it all those days. In addition to that, the Wii U, as far as I can tell, again, doesn't have that similar ranking system, which I, again, found to be really quite interesting. It's like, what have I played for the most amount of time? And how much time have I played it for? What have I played the most often, most frequently? What has been the game that I have played that I have, like, the largest average amount of time played on and things like that? I just really kind of wished that the Wii U had that after I enjoyed it so much on my 3DS. Another little comparison between the Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS is that with the 3DS, just like with the Wii U, you can check out your friends list, you can see what your friends are playing at that time. On the 3DS, if your friend is playing Mario Kart 7 and they're online and they're just playing a game that anyone can join, including you, then it'll say so. It'll say playing Mario Kart 7 in online mode, online multiplayer mode. And the same goes for actually Kid Icarus Uprising, so that you can quickly tell just through the friend list who's playing what online and whether you can join them, which is extremely convenient. So I got the Wii U, I got Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, and because that game is a really online-focused game, I fully expected to be able to quickly see through the friends list whether my friends were playing Monster Hunter 3 U online, and whether I could just join them. And, you know, maybe there would even be a button, just like a quick join button, where I could say, okay, I want to join them right now, let's just do this straight from the friend list. But no. That's not an option on the Wii U. I don't know what the problem is there, but one thing is for sure, the Wii U's online experience would definitely benefit greatly from some kind of a quick join button that you can click right from the friends list. That would actually be very convenient. And moving on to some more comparisons between the Wii U and the 3DS. The 3DS has folders so that you can organize the software basically on your main menu into folders. Simple as that. You can name the folders. I've got three folders, one for games, one for applications, and one for videos. My videos one doesn't have a lot of stuff in it, like there's three videos in there. But still, it's really nice when you have the digital software downloaded to your system. It starts piling up. It's kind of nice to just be able to think, okay, click on the games folder and bam, there are all my games. It's easy. It's simple, and so obviously I expected. I fully expected the Wii U to have a similar function, some kind of folders. In general, I guess I just expected the Wii U to do everything the 3DS did, but it is strangely missing some of those small enhancements that could just make it generally a more user-friendly experience. And these are things that the Nintendo 3DS has. The 3DS came out almost 2 years before the Wii U. So why does this handheld beat its home console counterpart in all of these small little ways? I just kind of wonder about that. And they're small things, but they were things that I was expecting having owned a 3DS for so long before I got my Wii U. So moving on, we have the pricing of the Wii U. The current price point for the Wii U, I feel, is in a kind of dangerous middling ground. It's just a little too expensive for the casual people who, you know, don't have the time investment to match the cost of the system. You know, when the Wii came out, $250, and it was by far the cheapest system of that generation, and it was, you know, specifically geared toward casual players. It was a good price. $350 was kind of pushing it, but it started out as $350 for the deluxe version of the Wii U. However, that dropped down to $300 last year. And even $300 is not quite to that point where casual gamers, family, people who, you know, wanna play video games, they've already got their Wii U, but that's kind of a different story. It's just still a little too expensive for them. However, it's not quite expensive enough for the really hardcore gamers and just tech people, tech owners, to take seriously, to appeal to them. Because if you're spending $300 on a kind of an all-in-one entertainment system, then what does it not have that the PS4 and the Xbox One do have? That's the question. Because of that price difference, there's, you know, gotta be something in there that the Wii U doesn't have that I kind of want because I'm a hardcore gamer. And kind of in that same vein, the Wii U, probably in order to have kind of a lower price point, has only 32 gigabytes of internal storage. And I'm just going to go right out and say it, 32 gigabytes of internal storage is not enough. And it is frankly laughable compared to the PS4 and the Xbox One, which each have 500 gigabytes of internal storage. And a lot of people don't even think that's enough to, you know, hold all their digital games. Personally, I'm already out of space on my Wii U. You know, essentially, I could probably fit some virtual console titles on there, but certainly not a full retail game on that, you know, limited space that I have left. And that's, I have run out of space, even, you know, doing my utmost to stick with physical copies of games. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and Wii Fit U pretty much killed my internal storage. It's just all gone, thanks mostly to those games. And now I'm looking at spending a bunch of money on an external USB storage device, which is something that I wanted to avoid to begin with, and I'm still trying to avoid. I really don't want to have to resort to that. So adding more storage to the Wii U would have added to the system's cost. But it was Nintendo's original idea for the Wii U to appeal to a hardcore audience. I guess I just didn't realize that 32 gigabytes of internal storage is probably not going to appeal to hardcore gamers. So that's kind of just a shame. And I wouldn't call myself super hardcore. I'm a hardcore Nintendo fan, certainly. But even in my opinion, 32 gigabytes was not enough internal storage. And I honestly gladly would have paid the extra $50 to $100 to get that extra space so that I wouldn't have to worry about, like, what if I mean, there will certainly be a lot more downloadable games to get in the future. And I kind of need space for those. But I really, really don't want to have to worry about buying one of these external devices. It's going to be a little bit of a pain when I have to resort to that. One weakness that actually comes up with the Wii U quite often that I honestly don't have a very strong opinion about is the name of the system, Wii U. I think the big weakness there isn't necessarily the name of the system. It's the fact that some of these developers chose to add U to the end of these titles. Zombie, U, we're all looking at you right now. But, you know, there's New Super Mario Bros. U, not my favorite title ever. There's Need for Speed Most Wanted U, and I just think that was a really, you know, bad idea for some of these developers to just, you know, throw a U on the end of the name. That'll work. It'll fit with the Wii U theme perfectly. No, that's kind of just stupid. I mean, are we calling Xbox Game One or Xbox One games stuff like such and such a title One? No. And I honestly think that Xbox One is actually a very inferior name even to the Wii U. Xbox One. I mean, really. Oh, learn how to name your systems, people. The way I see it, another weakness of the Wii U is in its advertising. And I see that in this way. In retrospect, I think that Nintendo shifted gears when it came to marketing the Wii U. And I think that has been a big mistake. During the system's early stages, before it even came out, Nintendo was really big on making it appeal to, and these are like Reggie Fils-Aimé's words, the hardest of the core. I mean, can you remember those early trailers that showed off all the, you know, really hardcore games? I don't actually play those games, but I still remember a time when Nintendo was really focusing on that audience. The direction of the Wii U's advertising has now taken like a complete 360-degree turn. The company is back to targeting families and casual audiences, just like they pretty much always have, because that's just what Nintendo games are. They're family-friendly, they're colorful, I wouldn't necessarily call them casual, but they certainly, kind of on the surface, are appealing to that casual audience, and that's what Nintendo is advertising for now. This, to me, signifies an identity crisis for the Wii U. I feel like it has an identity crisis. I mean, it's no wonder people don't know what this system is. Is it the Wii? Which kind of appealed to families and casual players? Is it just kind of another Wii? Or is it a system for the hardcore? I think it tries to be both, but in so doing, it doesn't come across as strong in either way. So it's not a really strong, there's not a really strong case for the Wii U as a hardcore system, the hardest of the core. Those people are buying Xbox Ones and PlayStation 4s. The Wii U also, you know, tries to appeal to casual gamers, families, and it doesn't quite fit that bill either. So it's kind of just desirable to neither of these audiences that I think are kind of the majority of video game consumers. So in talking about all of this, you'll probably notice that I didn't mention much about games. I'd probably say something about the state of third-party support for the Wii U, but I honestly don't really understand that a lot. I know companies are just like staying away from it. Like crazy. I mean, you get told this, and you probably have a good sense of this, but third-party developers really don't want to develop for the Wii U, and that's really sad, and I don't really understand that. I mean, I guess I understand that they want to develop for the systems that have the best specs and things like that, but I just feel bad that that's the direction this industry is taking, because I think that video games should be about, you know, good experiences and things like that. And the gamepad, it's not quite the revolution that the Wii Remote was, but it does offer kind of a new way of, you know, thinking about and developing video games. And so I don't know why third parties are so repelled by the Wii U. I'm not quite understanding of that, I guess you could say. I personally like the Wii U. So I may sound, you know, really frustrated and really passionate about this, but I really like the Wii U because I like the way that Nintendo makes games. And you've heard it a million times, I've heard it a million times, but I don't want Nintendo to be no more. I don't want Nintendo to just throw in the towel. I mean, that's obviously not going to happen, but that seems to be what some people think, like, oh, Nintendo, they've lost touch and things like that. You just play their games. Super Mario 3D World, The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. Fantastic games. Nintendo still has it where it counts, and that is in developing absolutely stellar gaming experiences. And that's why I like the Wii U. That's why I'm still a Nintendo fan. I just really like their games. And when it comes to the Wii U, I don't care that it can't play Blu-rays and that it doesn't stack up to its competition in terms of specs. But that kind of just reflects my view. And that's not the views of, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people Nintendo would love to sell Wii U's to. I'm just kind of unique in that way. And I think a lot of people are, but there are not enough people like me who are unique in that way for Nintendo to find success. I think that in a lot of ways, Nintendo is out of touch with the world and the current market, especially here in the United States. I mean, we're very materialistic here in the United States, if you'll just take a moment and think about that. I just barely actually got a Kindle Fire HD. And even though I wouldn't consider myself too materialistic, I like the content of things, as opposed to the physical things. But even I just, you know, held that Kindle Fire in my hands and thought, this is a nice little, you know, piece of equipment. And so people care about that kind of thing. The Wii U, it is not like the cool new thing. I think that's kind of what the PlayStation 4 is for people. It's that cool new thing that is even more powerful than its predecessor. Everyone just wants, you know, the fancy new equipment, and Nintendo doesn't realize that. Once they do, maybe things will turn around. But I don't know. What do I know? Those are just kind of, you know, some of my thoughts and feelings. All right, and it seems like a little bit of a strange place to end there, but that's about all I have for tonight. I hope you enjoyed my little mini episode. It was a little bit nerve-wracking for me to go solo tonight, but I really appreciate you hearing me out and listening to the very end. As usual, if you would like to send us a question to discuss on a later episode, you can send an email to contact@infendo.com. And with that, have a great day, have a great night, morning, whatever time it is for you, and we'll see you next time. This has been Holly Falmouth with Infendo Radio.